Blog Talk Radio.
It's time. It's time to learn about the music industry from the inside out. Welcome to Hip Hop National Radio.
Hip Hop National Radio.
Yeah, y'all know what it is.
Get ready to hear today's newest stars of hip hop, rock, pop, R&B, gospel, and more.
That's it.
All right, welcome to Hip Hop National Radio. This is your boy Poetic, and tonight I am so apt because tonight's topic is going to be a wonderful topic. We're going to be talking about, you know, wealth, and we're going to talk about the difference between the a poor man's thinking versus a rich man's thinking. And if they think this way, why not? If the rich can do it, why can't we? Why not do it? Just do it. But before we get into the topic, let's go ahead and cover the show like we always do right here on Hip Hop National. Lord, thank you for giving us a blessing to allow us to come together collectively as a community to express our thoughts about various things that impact the industry of music. Lord, we ask that you bless and cover every mind that is tuned in, locked and loaded to the program, that they will get an understanding from it to take back into the marketplace to use it for the best that they can to provide for family or whatever things that they need to fuel. But let them not forget it was you who had given them the gift in the first place, and you are the one that's responsible for providing the blessing and the record, the path to make it happen. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Guys, this is my disclaimer. I can't tell you how to believe whatever you do, whatever, however you believe. I don't want to interfere with that. But do I want to influence it? Of course. I'm a Christian that does hip-hop, and many say that I don't travel in the right lane. God said, I do. He gave us this program. Now we're expressing thoughts. A lot of people come through the program to also express their thoughts. So let's continue to work together collectively as a community, no matter how you serve or whatever you do. Let's come together so we can come together in one mind so we can build a community of people. All right. Let's go ahead to the lines here. I'm going to filter through the lines. 623-554. If you want to speak, because I did come to you earlier, press the number one. That way I know that you do want to speak. Okay, area code 305-3005, I think that's you, Rich. Rich, welcome to Hip Hop National. I know you're here for the first time. Let me do some housekeeping, guys, to let you guys know that this is not a platform for you to come on to do a shameless plug. It is about the topic. We are a marketing program to allow and promotional program to allow you to do so. So please respect us accordingly. Rich, welcome to the show. Where are you calling in from? What it is that you do, sir?
Okay, I'm calling in from Miami, Florida. I am a partner with Shanita Hunt in Rolls Voice Entertainment, Inc. here at Miami, headquartered in Miami, and we're a full-service entertainment company.
Okay.
Oh, and by the way, thank you for having me on.
Oh, thank you, Rich, for coming on as well. We got Zero on with us right now. Zero, welcome to Hip Hop National. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Miami, Florida. I represent Played Away, which is also a music company, which is Space Base as well.
Okay. And, all right, and then we have DJ Charlie. DJ Charlie, welcome to Hip Hop National. DJ Charlie, where are you calling in from? Okay, so she's not ready, so I just wanted to be sure. Okay, and this is my brother in the cut. Right on. Welcome to the show, sir. Let these people know where you're calling in from.
I'm calling in from Mark,
stayed up here, and I'm happy to be here on the panel this evening. And I think you have a good topic. I just want to hear the others' input on it before I give you my startup conversation. You know, my well runneth over sometimes. So,
all right.
Are you ready?
Tonight, guys. Yes. Tonight we'll talk about if wealth is just a state of mind, then why not think as the rich do? We're going to start off with the topic, in a name that goes in connection with the topic. Rich, you got the floor, sir.
Well, as my background is an investment banker and commodities broker, and the problem that I believe that we have as far as learning how to become rich is we focus too much on the trappings of wealth and not the foundational aspect of wealth. So what that means briefly is that we do not do what the wealthy do, but they leave clues that if we would follow and replicate, we would get the same results, but we don't do that, and that's why we're in the state we are in now.
Wow, what a powerful opening statement. I appreciate that. Zero, what's your statement, sir? Just a state of mind. Then why not think it's the rich? What's your statement?
When you think of wealth, what comes to my mind is also health. Because your wealth is really your health. Your health is your true wealth. I mean, people who prosper normally live a healthier lifestyle. They watch what they put into their body. And when you're speaking from the mental standpoint, you know, you are what you eat. What you put in is what you're going to put out. And consuming the proper diet on a mental level, a spiritual level, would lead to prosperity. As we know, I mean, I know you're a spiritual guy, so you would understand that spiritually consuming something that's good for you would help you produce something that's fruitful. And education is not a big part in our society as far as being something out of the norm. The mass, you know, following the mass majority is something that's like a trend. And only the exceptional ones choose to take that route to step out. Like you said, they see you as if you're in the wrong lane. I see you in the right lane. That's what you're doing. And that's the wealthy mentality, because most successful people are at the top and it's crowded at the bottom.
All right. Wow, man. What a wealthy statement there, brother. And right off. I know you're up for the challenge.
Well, you know, I got to kind of go with the last gentleman. And the reason, you know, wealth, you know, you automatically think of economic point, how wealth, money, that type of thing. But wealth is a whole different mental side of it. And, you know, I'm going to let you guys hash it out a little bit before I come in with the zinger on this, because I think I want to hear all the different ways that people think that wealth is.
Okay. Well, I'm going to tell you guys what inspired me to even try to cover a topic like this, and which is really a broad topic. But yet, at the same time, I've seen a post recently on my wall. And within this post, let me see if I got a credit to where it came from, just to be sure. Anita Wilson, actually, she posted it, and she's one of our listeners, come in a lot to our program. But what made me want to cover this topic tonight is what I read in this 20 Things the Rich Do Every Day. So what do the rich do every day that the poor don't do? Actually, it was from a guy named Tom Corley from his website, richhabitsinstitute.com. He outlined a few things. He said 70% of the wealthy eat less than 300 calories of junk food per day. 97% of poor people eat more than 300 calories of junk food calories per day. 23% of the wealthy gamble. 52% of our poor people, poor that gamble. So the thing it is, there's a broad difference in the way we carry our habits. And I think Zero said something about health. And he paralleled it to health and wealth. It is a broad difference in which they say how the poor man's thinking is as far as exercise. Exercise, they said 70% of the wealthy exercise aerobically 4 days a week, and 20% of the poor do this. Why do you think this is so? Let's go to Zero, because Zero brought it up. Are you guys hearing me? Oh, okay.
Yeah, I guess I hear you.
Go ahead, Zero. Why do you think that is so? When you were talking about health, why do you think they got – do you think that maybe they have more time on their hand that they can exercise, and we're caught up in the I won't say we. Let's just say the average person is caught up into the poor man is caught up into having to work, labor, all of this, and then by the time he gets off from his 9 to 5, he's exhausted and he don't have time to exercise, or is it just that they just don't make time? You have the floor.
I believe that it's just that they don't make time. I mean, we're blessed with the same 24 hours a day. The rich man would sacrifice, and that's the difference between the poor man and the rich man. The rich man is willing to sacrifice the junk in every aspect of life to strive for better. And the poor man is willing to say, well, I'll wait for it to fall out of the sky. Like, they carry a mentality that's different where, you know, the rich man know they have to work and grind and get at it to get what they want. And they know they'll work, they'll lose what it takes at the beginning to gain a lifetime of wealth, where the poor man was trying to get it all now by gambling, and they want a quick lick, and they end up broke by falling into the traps that's put out there for the greedy.
Yeah, I heard that, Rich. Tough act to follow.
Yeah.
What's your space, sir?
Well, going back to the original premise, I like what Zero, I believe is his name, what he said, but I think I would like to change the term from sacrifice to investing. Because when you say sacrifice, even the poor man's thinking, sacrifice is a painful endeavor to go through. That's why they'll never go through it. But a rich man's thinking is that he's making an investment into himself. Whether he has to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning to go out and run or do push-ups, he's investing in his body. He's investing in his mind. When he does his prayer work, that's an investment to his relationship with the Creator. He sees it as that, but the poor man thinking, like, I can't believe I got to get up 5 o'clock in the morning to pray, or I got to get up 5 o'clock in the morning to run 3 miles. That's the problem in the thinking process, is what we see the end results being.
All right, Raw Dog, you've had enough time to marinate. Now jump in there, buddy. No, I'm just kidding.
I love hearing everyone else's analysis before I come out with my point. Now, okay, let's just really call it like it is. Poor man, wealthy. Okay. the point is that, okay, there is a lack of education within those that are of lower income. They know less about commodities. They know less about product control, marketing, distribution. They know less about the laws of having a business, to conduct business. You know, the funny part about it is that, you know, you don't have to have a product to make money. you can market someone else's product. Now, the poor man doesn't realize that, but he does on the street level because that's drug dealing. Okay? He'll take something that someone tells him that they have, and he'll market it. Okay. So now what we have here is not understanding America, the laws of going into business, investing, and getting a license so that you can go and buy at wholesale to redistribute at retail. That's business. So when we start talking about the disparity between the wealthy, it's all the way you have educated yourself to survive in America. There are books. There are laws. They'll tell you you can go into business. Now, you know, businesses have write-offs. So we talk about the wealthy. Oh, they take advantage of the tax code. They can have parties, they can have trips, but if it's business, it's a business expense. They can buy a vehicle, and they can go from one place to market their thing to another one, to a luncheon, to a meeting, to whatever, and they can write it off because it's a business expense. What does that mean? That means if you're educated enough that you can understand the economic flow in America that allows you the ability to be able to invest your money. Because, you know, a poor man, his intelligence says casino. I'm going to the casino because what? It's legal, it's lit up, and they say you can win. That's all anybody wants to do in America is win. Even if he's poor, even if he has a lesser job, all he wants to do is win. Okay? So when we talk about the wealthy, we're talking about the winner mindset. We're going to talk about being winners. We're not going to talk about wealthy. We're going to say winners, succeeding. Because, you see, America is nothing but a big marketing strategy. You know, they always say, own a piece of the rock. Believe this, you will never own that rock. You will pay property taxes. Does that mean you're just leasing that rock? You know, they talk about go out and buy yourself a house. Okay, you pay for that house. It's paid for, but you're going to get property taxes every year. So you really don't own it. You're renting a space, and by domain of time, you can be there. But if you miss those tax deadlines for your property tax to the state or the city or the county, they'll take it away. So when we talk about America, because, you see, I can't say that the wealthy Africa, I can't say in South America. I can only say in America because that's what I know about. It's the understanding of the economic system to be educated enough so that you can play in the game of marketing, strategy, promotions, product, distribution. It's all there. Every business has to look at it the same way. Every rich person that's got a company has those things to look at. But we got it on the street level.
Let's bring in this other caller. Selena, welcome to Hip Hop Nation. Where are you calling in from?
I'm calling in. My name's Selena. I'm calling in from Miami, Florida. And Poetic, I was just listening in, and I couldn't help but to want to speak on the subject because I'm hearing your speakers, and I agree with its importance of them all. And in fact, is you know, if we put everything together, I think we have the answer because it is a lack of education on the poorer person's part where he doesn't want to invest in himself, or not that he doesn't want to, but he just doesn't. It takes a discipline to want to pick up a book when you get home you know, after your 9 to 5 and you're tired and you're exhausted and, you know, maybe all you want to do is sit down and watch TV. TV is not educating you. It's not developing your mind. So it takes a discipline to want to invest in yourself, to open a book, to open a Forbes magazine or open an educational, listen to an educational seminar that would help develop you so that you would know about, you know, the different opportunities that's available to you. It just takes anyone who exercises, and going back to exercising, anyone who exercises, they'll take the extra 30 minutes or however long a day to build up their body. But it takes that same discipline. And sometimes people think, oh, no, I can't exercise. I just can't do it. You know, it's just too much because you're seeing a big picture. But there is a book that's written about the slight edge where it doesn't take a lot. It takes maybe 30 minutes a day to work your body out. Maybe it'll take 30 minutes a day to work your mind in a book, in reading, in educating yourself. So if they didn't see the huge picture and thinking the mountain is so huge, you can start to begin to invest in yourself and develop yourself little by little, inch by inch is a cinch. Someone told me once, how do you eat an elephant? Because an elephant is huge. You don't eat an elephant in one bite. You eat it one bite at a time. And so if you don't see it as such a mountain that's insurmountable, and you see 30 minutes a day, let me educate myself to bring myself to a different social level or a different financial tax bracket, then I think it would be more achievable by the masses.
And I'm going to kind of spin off what you just said, Selena. Do you guys think that education is really the key to changing and transforming the way a man thinks? Is it definitely in the books? Because it seems like it's been the secret forever. You put something in a book and you can hide it from a man. And it's right there. It's always been in between the lines. And the question is, why is it that everybody don't get it? Education does help transform the mind, the way you think. Listening to tapes and listening to today, you really don't have an excuse because basically you can Google anything you want and bring it up in basically video. Somebody wrote some kind of topic about it. Education is in the free world. The information highway is in full throttle. Wouldn't you guys agree? Let's talk to Rich.
I agree wholeheartedly. Raw Dog came up with some very excellent points. Really, when you think about it, is that in America, you have to be a producer, and unfortunately, most poor people are consumers. And once you understand the fine line between being a producer and a consumer, then you can understand within 5 minutes whether someone is going to be wealthy or not. You ask, why is it so difficult? It really comes down to a simple concept. We don't set goals. And the reason we don't set goals, well, I shouldn't say we, poor people do not set goals because basically 5 reasons. One, they're not serious. One, they don't understand the importance of goals. 3, they don't know how to set goals. 4, they are scared of being rejected. And the biggest one is that, unfortunately, in our community, the biggest part of why we don't set goals, we have a fear of failure. We allow people around us to scare us out of trying things and remain mediocre because if we try something and we're not successful, we feel ashamed, we get ostracized to a certain degree, and we take that personally. We take every defeat and failure as a personal indictment of who we are as opposed to seeing it as a learning experience, not to repeat it, but to actually use it as a launching pad to be successful. And we are too prideful and not proud. Not proud enough to say, you know what, I tried this, I'm going to try something else. People in America have failed that are rich. Most of them have failed, but we won't do it.
Well, you know, somebody...
Can I add to that, Paul?
Yeah, but let me say this real quick. Somebody posted on Facebook something what he just said. People let people talk them out their dreams. And then the thing it is, somebody posted on Facebook the other day, why let somebody talk you out of your dream because they gave up on theirs?
That's
not the person you want to follow.
But can I say something?
Yes, sir. You got the floor.
Okay. You know, okay. There goes the psychological set. A dream happens overnight. But a dream that you might have as a goal is not going to happen overnight. And we live in a society that I dream it, I want it now. But yet it's not the way life is. Because between the bumps and the curves and, you know, hold on tight, the unknown, or we call it Murphy's Law, pops up and bites you. That's because, guess what, your goal is not in the time frame that you wanted it to be. But that doesn't mean you have to let it go. That doesn't mean you don't have to take a detour. See, the point of that thing about, you know, the casino, if you go gamble, if you hit it, you get it now. But in life, you know, we talk about education. You know, a lot of people start and they think all the answers are in the front of the book, but they don't realize they got to get to that last page in the book before they get what that book was trying to teach them. You've got to go the course. Just like he said, some people don't use the word failure. You know, every time I heard that word failure, you know, I just kind of cringed in my chair because I hate that word. Let's say they don't succeed at that try at that time. That doesn't mean that they won't get to be successful or get to their goal. It just means that they fell short. The effort did not take root and grow as they thought the time span that it was. Or they made a mistake and they have to start all over. But that's learning. That's knowing. That's knowing the pathway. That's knowing every pitfall that can be in the way so that when you get there, you've earned it. You know that word earn? And that's a big word. It's maybe only four letters. But
it's only four letters.
Yeah, but it means a lot. No, but catch it. It means a lot. And so what you have to understand about earn is it's not easy. Who said it was? It's not fun. Who said it was? You know, we talk about street businesses, but, you know, that's locker room conversation on where to set it up, how to do it. This is the way it goes. This is the price listings of everything. This is the street value. Okay, it's word of mouth. It's not a book you read. You see, that's an easy get into business. But guess what? The catch-22 of that is imprisoned, criminal time, or, you know, hey, somebody just killing you, taking your hustle. So when we talk about America, survival, wealthy, ask them how much they really know that they went and they took in a higher form of education. Did they sacrifice? Did they not have the big screen TV at 22? Did they not have the Mercedes out in front of their wherever they were staying? What sacrifices did they pay? Because, you see, there's part of it. What's real, you're going to sacrifice for. You know, just like we talked about out of the time in the day, exercising for your body and what have you. Well, you sacrifice the time because guess what? That's what's important to make your goal. So, you know, let's not just sugarcoat this and let everybody think we can raise a hand and step over in this line and we're going to succeed. No, you're going to fall.
As you guys said, and you guys spoke on it, they said 80% in this survey, it says 80% of wealthy are focused on accomplishing a single goal. Mm. Only 12% of the poor do this. They're all over the place, and they never focus on making something stick.
Well, do you put all your money in one pocket?
No, I'm talking about what I'm saying is they said that 80% of the wealthy are focused on, maybe this is a misprint, some single goal.
Yeah.
Well, I don't believe it's a misprint.
I think it's a misprint, too. I think they're diversified. You don't put all your money in one pocket.
Yeah. What do you say?
No, I think we're not.
Because I'm reading that direct. It says some single goal. That's messed up. To me, what you was about to say, Selena. You said
I really don't, because going back to what we said earlier is that what I do believe is that we don't know how to set goals. If you ask anyone if they had a dream or have a dream, they have a dream, mm-hmm. but a dream is not a goal. A dream it's far-reaching. It's maybe the ultimate thing that you want to be or want to reach, the epitome. But you need to set goals, maybe a 5-year goal, a 10-year goal, to make that dream, to, you know, step by step by step to get to the ultimate dream. But I don't think
so. In other words, it is
actuality.
A misprint. In other words, it is a misprint in a sense, because you're saying that you got to put several goals in place to make the dream happen.
Exactly, you do.
Yes.
And I don't think people do that or don't know how to do that.
Yeah. Don't get me wrong, guys. Right now, we're on a platform that came in as a dream, which is Hip Hop National. It was literally, the story came like it was a whisper in the ear kind of thing, just like me and you guys are on this phone. This is how I heard the term Hip Hop National come into play. But to say what it was supposed to do, when it was supposed to do, how it was supposed to do it, it took time to develop what's going on right now, this conversation. It didn't come overnight. It was one of those things that was worked, and Raw Dog is a witness to it, that is still a working plan in progress all the time. We are always
fine. It is taking an effort to earn the status that it has received.
Correct.
You see, I hear goals, I hear dreams, but I don't hear earning and moving up each one of those steps. Because
I disagree, because Selena just said that.
Well,
Selena said, "How do you take down eat an elephant one bite at a time? That's earning."
Yeah, but where do you start?
At the first bite, correct?
No, you got to cook him.
Well,
God, think about that.
That is a process. That's a process.
You got to cook that sucker. Because if somebody runs and kills an elephant with a knife, drops him down to the ground, starts taking pieces off
him, it ain't time to eat.
That's right, I'm saying.
Yeah.
And then you got to put him in a refrigerator somewhere. Don't
but, in other words, it takes preparation.
There you go.
That's what
you got to earn.
That sounds like preparation. Hey, guys, this format lends itself to also the half hour. We do go to a short break. We'll be right back. We'll be brief about it tonight. I want to get back into the topic. So y'all stay with us. It's more on the other side. You're listening to Hip Hop National Radio, and tonight we're talking about if wealth is just a state of mind, why not think as the rich do?
Y'all stay with us. It's more on the other side.
Okay, let's see if you're ready to promote your record. Hot music production? Check. Artwork and artist bio ready? Check. Advertising, marketing, and promotion. Let's begin. Start your buzz right here on Hip Hop National Radio. We're more than just radio. We have an exclusive magazine, a national flyer buddy system, an exclusive artist interview line, and we educate you on the way. And if you're ready, email us your MP3s today to mymp3@hiphopnational.com. Be sure to include the artist name, song title, and contact phone number. And after you email us, give us a call at 877-580-8555. That's 877-580-8555. Hip Hop National Radio, your platform for advertising, marketing, and promotion. Start advertising right here, right now, on Hip Hop National Radio. We're on standby. Email us and give us a call.
This station is a member of BOB, Band of Online Broadcasters, powered by Cloud Radio.
All right, guys, like I said, I won't hold you that long, but I just want to let everybody know Hip Hop National is a professional promotional firm to help you with your presentation to presenting your materials in front of the industry inside circle of the music business. Definitely you want to connect with us. Go to www.hiphopnational.com. Upload your music today. We're waiting, and we're on standby. So we're back to the topic. If wealth is just a state of mind, then why not think as the rich do? And as we were talking about the percentage of those who exercise, those who set goals. We talked about the ones who read books. But how about the ones that, to make all of it possible, as we was talking about setting goals, it takes a process. How many people put together a to-do list to make those little goals, those bigger goals, take place? It says here, 81% of the wealthy maintain a to-do list and only 19% of the poor do. So we're going to go to Zero. I hadn't heard from him for a minute. After that, I'm going to Selena, Rich, and then Raw Dogs. Go ahead, Zero.
I would say a to-do list is something I've always done for a long time, and that's something the poor don't do. The rich always does it. But one thing that I say that plagues the poor is self-esteem. I mean, that's something that comes with personal development, and the rich is doing that from exercising and strengthening their mind and their vocabulary, where they can come in and speak with one another and have a broader delivery of information through conversations. They have a tendency to speak on, the rich have a tendency to speak on solution, when the poor have a tendency to speak on the problems.
Zero, I got a question for you. In the midst of that questionnaire, you're a rapper. What do you see that a rapper could learn from based on what we've talked about already?
I speak on strengthening the mind and educating yourself at all times and doing it yourself, self-education, because you won't get it all from a public institution. They don't teach you life skills. They give you something to go ahead and make money off of. But personal development, that's something you got to do from within your home. I mean, you can go to church, but at the end of the day, they'll tell you that it comes down to you implementing that quality of what you learn from whatever your spiritual belief is. I mean, but you got to implement that in your life, and it comes down to personal development. So, I mean, you got to really want it, and the goal is the first to build up the product, which is you. And wherever you go, you're going to be there. And you got to have self-esteem, because you don't want to walk up in front of an opportunity and feel like you're not good enough for it. And poor people have a tendency to feel like...
As a rapper, you think that's necessary? as a rapper, you think it's necessary as personal development to take these things under your wing?
Right. Because,
okay.
I mean, the genre is looked down upon in certain areas because of what certain people have done. And I don't blame hip-hop. I blame what they choose to promote the most in, as a mass promotion scheme. I mean, there are great people who do genre hip-hop, and they're talented, but they doesn't get the press coverage as it should. And that's where it comes in, because I've noticed through my walks of life being in hip hop and promoting on a positive level in that area, where it's, they don't push it, not because it's not worth pushing, they don't push it because the masses are not educated to grasp what you're giving. So you can only water the seed in which somebody has it within them, and if they don't have it in them, you're alien. They lose contact.
Wow.
So it's like, they lose that connecting point is not there because they were never fed that as a mass. And in order to do that, it, for you to come out now, it's like you're alien in them, and you get a smaller crowd because, like I said, at the top, the rich minds, this small group of people. It's a small group of people.
Okay. Let's go to Selena. Selena, what's your thought?
Well, I would say, and I recently was certified as a personal, a life coach. So, and in being a life coach, I get to speak with numerous people. And I would say to the rappers and the hip-hop nation in whole that you have a dream, you want to obtain maybe the Grammy or, you know, whatever your dream is. And you're looking and you have idols, and you don't know what those idols have under their belt. You know, it's not just to get up on a stage and rap. Yes, you have to be excellent at being an artist, but you have to be a well-rounded person, because if you take a look at a Will Smith, you know, you see him rap and you see him be silly all the time and keep you laughing. But Will Smith was the top of his class in high school and graduated. He was at the top of his class. So you want to know your skill. You want to know your artistry. But you have to get an education and a basis in bookkeeping, in accounting, in marketing, I mean, in all of these things, because it takes a business mind after you get off that stage. You have to, yeah, you can have people, you can hire people to help you with accounting and all that, but you have to have a basis on your own, or they will steal everything. You know, you have to have a basic.
It's necessary to have a fundamental understanding of the basics of doing it, not necessarily you have to do it. You just got to have the fundamentals beneath your belt, correct?
Exactly. You have to develop your mind to have that.
But hey, can I jump in here for a second?
No.
I hear what everybody's saying about you, about the rapper, but then you have to ask him, well, what education do you have in music and understanding music theory and formulas and what have you? A message is a message, but then you got something carrying that message. What if you studied music and music theory to understand the effects of different chords and what have you on the human brain, the endorphins and what have you, which are favorable notes, which are, you know, what if you studied that part of the music so that when you put together your product, it had all those dynamics in it. I've made that statement over the air, and I don't go into it because those, you
and
know,
I can only
no one's asked.
Why you got to make it difficult, make me intimidated? I ain't studying no theory. No, I'm just kidding.
Okay, but see, guess what? I don't talk to you about that.
Yeah, but you're right, man. I see that real education of music come out of you when you do, though. That's a good
thing. Yeah, but see, you have to wonder why artists can make it that aren't rappers. better musicians. How can they get to the top? How are they succeeding in making money? Those are the keys, because a rapper is rapping the music. So he has one side of it covered, but the other side is the part that they aren't understanding that's necessary for the make it a full package. See, we talk about education. We talk about the business side, but then a few classes in junior college on music theory, music history, so they could understand that, you know, hey, it's not me, it's what I'm putting it together with me on, you know. And then you have to understand there's a difference between a product track and a performance track. The nuances, the dynamics, you know, not the explosions and what have you from the pyrotechnics and all of that. There's other parts that are necessary. See, when we say surviving in America, an electrician, he understands wiring, okay? But he's also got the fundamentals of structural composition to understand what, you know, he's wiring into. You know, so there you have nuances that add to the success of what you're trying to do. You just don't know a limited amount one direction. You've kind of got this whole puzzle, and you've got to have a big enough brain to understand these are all the pieces to that one puzzle that I've got to put together so I can succeed. You know, it's funny, but it's just not like walking in and, oh, I pull this track over here and what have you. If you go to a producer, he's already into knowing what's going to make that person, as they're walking down the hall when they hear that music, take a skip in their step or nod their head for just a second. Those are psychological quirks that if you have the right musical notes in dynamics within it, that people are going to react to. You can ask them, well, what made you do that? Well, I don't know. It just kind of felt. I heard the music. Got to understand it, because, see, it's all in the books. But that's part of what you have to learn. And, you know, let me ask Zero. Zero, did anybody ever tell you that?
Yes, as a matter of fact, they have. They told me that. They were like, they told me that I should go into music theory so I can learn how to verbalize along with certain chords in the music.
Right. But they didn't tell you that it was about the brain. You know, you hear the music through your ears, and it goes to your brain. And did they tell you about the endorphins that are released in the brain that give off sensations that, you know, that people, they might get a warm, yeah, it's, you know, you've heard, hey, you know, the walls were shaking, or, you know, hey, everybody was in, it was just, you had to be there. Those are the things that music has always brought out in people, and those that are successful. It's in their music. If you go back and study any of the hip-hop artists and you play their songs on top of each other, you're going to find there's something similar about each one of them. But you didn't pick it out until you did that, because you go, I didn't really like it, but he sold a million. If you put them together, one on top of the other, and you play two at the same time, you're going to find they come together at a certain point. They have something common. Oh, I shouldn't have told that. We charge people for that, don't we, Poetic?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Let's bring Rich. Let's bring Rich on deck. Rich ain't been there in a minute. What's wrong, Rich? You just sitting off in the cut saying, man, we ain't going to let me talk. You got the floor, sir.
Yeah. I'm enjoying the conversation, but Raw Dog just opened up the door for me, because I've been a DJ since I was 12 years old. And everything he's saying about the music and the sound and the rhythms and the beats and how they affect people, anyone who's a very successful DJ will tell you that there's a psychology to the dance floor And if you understand melodies and harmonies and what makes people dance, and you can bring that to a dance floor, you'll never go broke at a club. You'll always be able to work. Unfortunately, what Raw Dog said also is correct, that most people do not study enough about this beautiful gift called music that we were given. So they go in there and they just basically copy what is currently in front of them, and they don't understand that those sounds that they're creating now are highly destructive sounds. They create a different type of response in the human physiology, and then we behave differently. You don't know why you're angry in the club, but all of a sudden this song comes on and you feel yourself getting very aggressive. Once again, it's because you did not study why those beats, why those rhythms, why those sounds and vibrations change your behavior. And to go back to what Selena said, which I loved her point, there's a scene in Malcolm X where the Elijah Muhammad is talking to Malcolm and says, if the people are thirsty and you give them this dirty water, they'll drink it. But if you go ahead and you pour clean water into it and give them a choice, they'll always get the clean water. Unfortunately, we're not giving people clean water, and that's one of the easiest way to understand a poor man's thinking is because he's drinking from dirty water. And until he can get the clean water, he's always going to have the same results. You can't change the results till you change the thinking.
Exactly.
That's deep. That was deep. That was deep. And I'm glad, Rich, I'm glad you brought it back. Because the whole time I'm saying, how relevant is what they're saying? It's very relevant, by the way. Education, because of having a clear understanding of things, that's where the wealthy has got the great divide. They take the time to learn more and more and more about it, what it is that they're pursuing and why they're doing certain things and making certain investments in a certain way to make it happen. So at the end of the end results, what they're seeking is once I've paid my dues and doing this, and this, I should get a ROI, a return on investment, for based on how I have invested my time, my money, my studying, my education, everything that it took to evolve to the level to that return on investment, rather it be in money or knowledge or whatever. They've taken the time to make the sacrifice. That's why you see a lot of athletes as successful as they are today, is because they have the discipline. They learned it from a child, and they've kept doing it until eventually they were compensated for their investment. Make sense?
Yeah. Nah.
Okay. Fight me, Rod.
Why should we agree with you? When you're right, you're right.
Okay, and if I'm wrong. I ain't got no other tickets here, man. I feel like I'm swimming, man. I'm drowning. Somebody help me.
Yep.
You know, I know Selena. I love Selena. Help me, Selena. I'm drowning out here.
We were just listening to you drown. Man down.
You're right on target.
There you go. Selena, let's give him a hand. Let's pull him out of this. First of all, let me say this to you. You left out one part of that equation. Once you invest and you get what the necessary tools to get you on the road to developing what you need or what it is, the vehicle to get you to your goal, then you have to then reinvest and develop your skills. You have to be skillful. You know, we can have all the tools in the world and be a terrible mechanic.
I actually wrote an article on that last night. Is taking a self-assessment of self, and making sure that you take, you take, ask for people honest criticism as you do it, so you won't find yourself investing in something that just because you have a passion for it, that you're not gifted in that area. Get an honest evaluation and then be able to take good constructive criticism. Be sure to be able to separate what you would say the haters are, they just hating on me, versus taking it for what it really is. If some people will give you an honest answer if you just ask. And the thing it is, when you do ask, be prepared for the answer that comes out of their mouth. You don't have to take it as gold, but you have to weigh it out to make sure that it's an investment that you need to sacrifice in doing. Because if you can't really sing, you might want to pursue something else. if you're not mechanically inclined, you might want to pursue something else. If you've asked several people and laid it out, 1 to 10 people, I'm saying nine out of 10 people have already said that really I think you might want to pursue something else, then you might want to give that some good consideration, because the ratio says that you might. Not saying that you can't keep on working at it to get better, but it might not be something that you want to do. That's just my opinion. Guys, what's your thoughts? I'm going to Rich. Rich, bail me out of here. Come on, Rich. Speak up.
You're looking for help, huh? Okay.
Man down.
Okay. I really am a huge proponent for self-analysis. I think that you're making a very valid point, a very strong point. I think you see? But I think one of the things that we can't overlook, and Raw Dog said it earlier, really everything is in the books. Now, you may feel that you can go to higher institution of higher learning, or maybe you'll be self-educated, but everything you need are in the books. The question now is, are you going to, as Selena has said earlier, do you want to be a well-rounded individual? Do you want to be in a position where, yes, you may be a rapper. Yes, you may have very strong lyrical contents when you go out there. But when you get in that boardroom, and I've lived almost all my life, I've worked in the financial industry, when you're in that boardroom and you're sitting there and you're having a conversation, do you want them to make a decision based on not only your appearance, but also the way you speak to them? Or are you going to have a mastery of at least some vocabulary so that when you use a word, they understand that you do understand what you're talking about? You do have a reason to be here, and that they're not sitting there and on the other side of the table. And I'm telling you, I've been in the room where they're thinking about how to get over on you, because they're assuming that you're not intelligent enough to be in the room with them. And these are the things America tells you. You have to have the words. The words are the coin of the realm in America.
True. Yeah, they set you up to come up short.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Zero, exactly. Where you at, sir? Where you at,
huh?
Zero? I'm looking for Zero.
I agree. I second what he just said. I mean, it's just, and Raw Dog, they set you up for real. It's sad to say it, and you know, if you're not in the light to see it, you'll fall for the trap all the time. Well, I say the okie doke, mm-hmm. as we call it.
Yeah.
You'll fall for it all
the time. I understand the okie doke.
Yep.
But you guys realize that you can always get a deal. If you come up short, have you ever noticed that you know when they got you and a deal is you can get a deal, it's just so easy, you know, and you wonder, wow, that was so easy. But later on, you realize that you came up short. You know, the funny part about this whole thing is that, you know, I think that the wealthy want to become more independent in making decisions. Whereas when we think about, you know, and I can remember the educational system saying, okay, once you graduate out of school, you go out and you get yourself a job. Well, it didn't say go out there and become a business person, an entrepreneur, you know, someone that's in politics or what have you. They said, go get a job. Go work for somebody else. Don't go out there and try to get a business for yourself. So, you know, my generation got set up to be the workforce, you know, mm-hmm. and the next generation got set up to be the followers of the flower children. Love, peace, burn your bra. You know, I mean, it wasn't a motivational era that followed mine. So what we have in America is now the poverty. You know, America used to take care of its citizens, okay? Now, hey, I'm going to take y'all back. You know, they talk about the government cheese, and then they talk about the peanut butter. I got to tell you something. I had some of that government cheese. That was some of the best cheese. It really was. You could make a grilled cheese sandwich, and it wouldn't melt. I mean, it was, you know, you didn't lose. The peanut butter was real peanut butter. Okay? And you know what was funny is that people would share because they'd get the government gave you too much of an allotment of it. So they would share amongst each other. There was no such thing as considered poor. It was just being Americans living in America. And they were able to buy houses and what have you. America's now being owned by other people outside of America. So now we've got another thing that we've got in our mind that to achieve stability in America, we must understand business. We must understand that you must have a plan that's not going to say, I'm going out here necessarily to get a job for someone, but I'm going to put myself in a position that I can work for someone, but I can have my own business, investing in yourself. You know, I'm going to tell you something. Now, here's how America has started to really change in Washington State. There are so many marijuana growers
mm-hmm.
to supplement their income.
Yep.
They can sell it to the state. Because the state is going to open stores. They allow that for individual homeowners now. Now, we live close to the Canadian border. Canada had an economic recession before it hit the United States. Remember, Canada has no great export product. You go to Vancouver, B.C., and they said, oh, there might be 15 houses on a block all the way around it. Seven of them have grow units in them. Now the Canadian dollar is worth more than the U.S. dollar. How'd that happen? They still don't have a product, but their economics have come from sedating their people, taking alcohol as not the majority, because now remember this, alcohol is a depressant. I don't know somebody that's drunk that has gone to work. Okay, but I have known people that have been on marijuana and went and worked a job. Now, let's not say they did it perfectly, but they were still able to function. So what has happened in America, and when we talk about the wealthy and the poor, you will find out that the crack hit the poor neighborhoods. It was a sedative. Now, they call it, what, regentrification, because now people have come into the poor area and bought that property. Now they're building it up and rehabbing everything because they took the red line off of the banking industry. So you're getting people displaced that grew up in one area, which is kind of a good situation because you can live and die within a 50-mile radius and never know what America's about. You can think that that 50 miles is everything America has to offer, but once you get out of that 50-mile radius, you realize it's a bigger place with better opportunities. I think America's
bigger. You brought up something that's very important, Ronald, and I definitely want to touch bases on it when we come back, because you said something, and I want to get you guys started. He said you can live and die within a 50-mile radius and think that that's what America is all about. The difference between, I would say, and want to get you guys' opinion when we get back. We're going to go to a quick break, but it says the difference between a poor man's thinking and a wealthy man's thinking is geographically, I think they get a chance to travel a little bit more, see the world a little bit more. And they can express themselves on various, various different levels. When we come back, I want to hear your guys' thoughts. We'll be back in
Poetica. Can I just say one thing before you go to commercial? Because I do have to leave you because of a previous engagement. I just wanted to say that this is a great topic. I hope all of your listeners take this as a first step to developing themselves, developing in their educational realm, developing in their soul so that they can reach where they want to go. I also want to say that your study of the rich versus the poor is excellent, and all your listeners have to do is study the rich. It's not wrong to be a copycat as long as you copy the right cat, and I thank you.
Well, God bless you.
Absolutely true.
Okay.
God bless you,
Selena. Thank you for joining us tonight. Okay, and dropping that heavy weight at the end before you left. I appreciate that. Hey guys, when we come back, let's talk about that. You're listening to Hip Hop National Radio. We'll be back in just a brief second. It won't be long. Just like I said.
Hip Hop National Magazine has everything you love about being part of the hip hop generation and more. The magazine has A-list celebrity interviews from Hip Hop National partner, The Val the BB Show, style, fitness, news, health, craft, music from all genres, artist development, also articles with business decision makers on how to succeed in the entertainment industry. Read Hip Hop National Magazine online and in print. Visit hiphopnational.com. Get your Hip Hop National news from the number one source, Hip Hop National Magazine.
Industry professionals, have you been looking for an outlet to get your music heard? Hip Hop National Radio and HipHopNational.com, your digital service provider to get the best music first. Pop, rock, jazz, R&B, gospel, and etc. All genres of music with a hip-hop twist. This is your chance to get it first and stay on top of the competition. HipHopNational.com is for you. Log on now.
This station is a member of BOB. Band of online broadcasters, powered by Cloud Radio.
All right, guys, we're talking about if wealth is just a state of mind, then why not think as the rich do? Before we went on break, I said I was actually talking about the geographics in the geographics in which a poor man is able to cover versus a rich man and what he's able to cover. And let's just say the wealthy. I won't even say the rich because it doesn't take necessarily to have a whole bunch of money to decide to step outside of your area to explore. Wealthy people is not necessarily a financial plus in your pocket, but wealthy thinking is setting the goals, doing what it takes, making it happen. That's the mind of a wealthy man who's moving forward to gain and capture the things that is to come to him. That's just my opinion. Rich, I'm going to come to you first because I don't want Raw Dog taking me and putting you driving the bus over me. You got the floor.
Well, I'd like to take this off to a side note here, and I wanted to address the concept of rich and wealthy. And rich is basically what you're talking, most people think of as in terms of dollars and cents. And really the definition of wealthy is how many days that you can actually live where you don't have to go to a job. It's really based on time. So if you have, say, let's say you're making $20,000 a year and you have all of a sudden $100,000, that means you don't have to work for 5 years because you have that time and capital. So when you talk about people getting caught up in a situation where they can't leave their geographic location, I live in Miami, Florida, and I've met people in Miami that have never gone to the beach. Now, it takes you $2.
Man, you talking about me?
Beach, $2 back. I'm just saying, it's $4. How much money do you need to actually go and see the ocean and understand the glory, the expansiveness of the ocean? And you won't even leave your neighborhood. It's less than a 20-minute block, a 20-minute ride to the beach, and people have not gone to the beach. So there's a mindset that tells people that this is where I'm living, this little rock. I've lived in Europe, so I've traveled the United States. I've never felt that this was it, that I love Miami. This is my home, but I believe I'm a citizen of the universe, so any place I go, I feel comfortable. But when somebody feels that they can't leave their neighborhood, that they're nervous about leaving their neighborhood, we're looking at a poor mentality, a fearful mentality that has to be changed, and that can only be changed through education.
And he, you know what, Poetic, he is so right on that. I'm going to give you guys a story, and this is about a friend of mine that I love dearly. We grew up in the same neighborhood. He came from, you know, his mom and dad and what have you, and a religious background and what have you. And he turned into, pardon the expression, a crackhead. And I started, he came to me, told me that it was one of the best experiences when he first did it. And my question, are you going to do that again? And he goes, yeah. Well, he got into it, and we split our ways because, you know, hey, I already know drugs will destroy people. I knew that by the education my parents had given me, and I listened. Well, let's say 6 years down the road, I bump into him. And it's in the parking lot of a Safeway store. And he comes up, and he gives me the biggest hug, and he says, oh, man, this is my lucky day. He says, man, let me have a dollar. I says, damn, man, you thought it was your lucky day. But you ain't getting a dollar. And you can, the disappointment across his face, you could see it. But, you know, my next question was, when's the last time you were 50 miles away from here in this city? He said, man, there's nothing out there. And I said, well, how do you know? And then, you know, he had this look on his face, and he said, oh, man, don't nobody talk about anything outside of what's going on around here. And I go, wow. So the part of that is that you have to realize that there are different places to see. And I was always told, you know, if you feel you're in a stalemate where you're at, travel. You don't have to go to Disneyland. You don't have to go to some resort. But just travel. And you'll be able to see where you're at. You'll see where you've gone. You'll see what people are dealing with in a different area. You'll understand that your problems can all be dealt with. You just needed that time so that you could get a good focus and get a plan. So when you get back, you're refreshed, you're into it, and you're headed towards that goal. You know, because let me say that there's no way that you can't change things that you feel that are pressuring you. You know, you either have to face them, you have to pay them, and you have to pray about them. So with all those three things, that's how you survive in America. All right, Poetic. And I'd like to say God bless my friend who's a crackhead.
I said, too, man, you could have gave that man a dollar. No,
no, I couldn't. I feed him. But I ain't going to give him no dollar. It is not his lucky day.
I'm messing with you. Hey, 229-537 has stepped up to the plate. State your name, where you're calling in from. You now have the floor.
Hey, how y'all doing, man?
Hey, how you doing? Quinn.
What's going on? What's going on? Merry Christmas to y'all,
up,
man.
What's up, Quinn?
Hey, happy holidays.
Man, Merry Christmas. Happy Thanks. New Year holiday. Happy holidays, all of it to you, brother. What's happening?
Oh, yeah. I can't call it, man. I'm just sitting here chilling, listening to y'all talk about them crackheads. There's a lot of them out there now.
They're good people now. They just got issues.
Don't get me wrong, Quinn. I 100% agree with you, but that is the divide. That is the divide that we have. We're serving this mentality. A lot of people get into states of depression, and I'm being for real with you. So they start to see no light at the end of the tunnel because of their thinking, not getting out enough to see that there are solutions, like Raw Dog said, to go outside of your area to see that there's other people that's going through some of the same things you're doing, but that there's things that you can affect change by just watching other people do. Maybe you can bring that back to your community because it's not happening in your community. It might be happening outside in another community, how they have dealt with it, how they have changed it and made a difference. Because we stuck in that little box, and somebody put on my wall today, what was it, Rod? Thinking outside, not only thinking outside the box, but act as if there is no box. That came from Anthony Hamilton.
Wow.
And Anthony Hamilton is a very successful guy. He should say, you should act as if there is no box. That's the problem. A lot of us are in the box. And we don't think outside of that. So therefore, the solutions get buried, and then we get overwhelmed, and then we think a drug or two, a puff here and a puff there may be the answer, where it's a falsification of an answer. And we get before you know it, you're stuck on it.
But that's made a lot of people out there not turn out to be what they are because they're going through a lot in their lifetime, and they've been through a lot, and they still going through it. And sometimes they don't have nothing else to live for, and they just do it, you know?
I got to jump in here and save both of y'all. First of all, Poetic, you don't know what you're talking about a crackhead. And I'm glad of that, because you're not into drugs, and you're pure. Let me tell you, crackhead is, when they're high off of crack, they partying every day.
In their head.
That's a party to them. Most of them got started.
They party in their
head. What got them there? Now, my question to you guys is, what got them there? Seriously.
The party.
At what time? The what?
The party.
The party.
See, that's why I say you're pure, and I love that about you. That makes me respect you even more. But remember this. The first time they get high is not like when they get high and they get hooked. The first time they got high, they partied and had the best fun that they can ever remember in their life. They were superstars. They could dip on the dance floor and, remember, the beginning crackhead has a job, has a car, and had the money. So it was the best time of their life, and they go back there to try to get that same feeling.
No, my personal
but it doesn't
opinion,
come.
That's where I definitely see the divide between the rich and the poor.
Right. See, to me, wealth is going up eating chitlins.
Okay.
See, I took you away that you go say what? You didn't say prime
rib. That's not my topic. I gotta be honest with you. I ain't gonna get stuck on no crap, bro. Not on
no,
show.
No. I'm talking about the feeling of wealth. We're not talking about crack, because I don't know nothing about that myself. God took me and just let me see people. He didn't put me in the position of being one of those people that is looking at me and finding out it was a mistake. You understand? God delivered me from all of that confusion when it was going on around me and nobody knew what it was, but we do it on the weekends.
Zero.
Your eyes
where light you at up. With it, man? What's your thoughts?
Traveling is one of the best things that ever happened to me, because growing up, being around certain of my friends, many of my friends, they never had a chance to travel, and I was the first to really get out the box. And when I got out of the box, I seen a lot of things that they never saw, and I came back like hysterical and, you know, started trying to tell the stories about what I seen and how life could be so much better if we would travel more and get out the box more often. And it would run on deaf ears. I mean, it was like, yeah, you out there, you know, you done got hooked on something else other than what we have here. And from traveling, it caused me to want to expand my vocabulary. It caused me to want to learn more about other people, nationalities, and how they function, so I can deal with them a lot better. Because being in a neighborhood where we, amongst ourselves, and communicating amongst ourselves, it keeps us limited. And by traveling and seeing that, I wanted to expand. I was always an explorer. And I'd try something, but I never tried drugs. But,
hey, I hear you.
I mean, it was like, to them, it was like I became a little miniature superstar in their eyes, because I was making new friends in certain areas of life where they couldn't make because they weren't willing to expand. And it was like, how do you do that? I took a chance. It wasn't beautiful when I first went out there, but, I mean, I tried it. And, you know, I learned, and it's great to travel. I mean, I went through a stage in life where I lost a family member and, you know, almost went through depression because of that. But it was the traveling that kept me from really tanking out. And besides God himself that kept me, but, I mean, traveling also helped. It's therapeutic. I mean, people should get out more often.
Oh, yeah.
But when you're trying to live for society, you hear that same old statement, I don't have enough money to travel. No. If you put money aside, a certain percentage out of every paycheck, you can put a date so far ahead in time, whether it's a year down the line, 6 months down the line, and take a nice vacation, take a nice trip. When I was growing up, we couldn't take trips. We vacationed at home. We get off work, get a two-week vacation or a week vacation, and we stayed home. That was vacation. They asked me, where did I go? I had to lie about it. Until I got smarter and wiser and started realizing, hey, most of these people are traveling. They come back with stories. They're telling me, like, yo, they've been here. They actually took a vacation, you know, and it paid off for traveling.
You know what? That brings back another story. Now, I went to Hawaii. I flew out of Washington State, went to Hawaii. Heard all the rumors, gorgeous, gorgeous, and it is. But they forgot two little things. Cockroaches, lizards, everywhere. Went to a movie. They shut down the lights. All of a sudden you hear feet walking on the floor. You go, wait a minute. There's something moving in the dark. I tried to tell some people that, you know, that there was what they had, type of vacation condo over there where they could go and spend. And I said, well, you know, remember, they're going to have cockroaches. And they said, oh, it must have been where you stayed. No, I stayed in one of the nicest places when I went there. But guess what? They thought it was me. They stayed up all night and cried. The cockroaches ran. They had to bag everything in the refrigerator. They couldn't believe it. They wanted to get another place, but I had told them, in Hawaii, they have no motels. They have no little hotels. It's luxury resort hotels. So be prepared. They weren't. They couldn't wait to get back up to the Pacific Northwest. We have no critters. We have nothing like that. And they were shell-shocked, you know. But, see, that's traveling. That's to know you're in a good place.
You're going to tell me y'all don't have lions, tigers, and bears?
Oh, my, no. Yeah, but you guys had one get loose down there in Florida.
Yeah, I said that the other day. A lion got released, right?
And what about the gators and the pythons?
Those are luxury. We love those things around here.
Yeah, okay. Well, I'm up here. He won't have me losing my mind.
but I have to agree with you guys. The travel does give you an experience of life, of various different things, you know. That's just the way it is. And those stories add up to the wealthy person that you can become, because from that you come up with solutions. Don't get me wrong. If people never, you know, if the automobile, the train, and the plane was never invented, we would never step outside the box from where we're at. We would think that was the world. And because of these things, somebody said, hey, we got to get from this place to that place. So they came up with a solution, like the plane, the car, the vehicles, to make that happen. That's the same thing even as a rapper or whatever you're trying to explore in your lifetime. By stepping outside of the box, you can build various things within the story of your songwriting. You can come up with solutions as in the sense of inventions, because you may need to do something because you understand that, I mean, like the technology today, the reason why we all connecting worldwide is somebody came up with a solution, because it had to be a worldwide thing so we can all come together. When you step outside the box from where you at, you start to learn a few things and understand why you might need to come up with this to make this happen. Networking is very important, and that's my next thing why I wanted to get to. What wealthy people, they network. They come, it says here, and I just said it right here from what I was reading, it says 79% of wealthy people network 5 hours or more each month versus 16% of the poor. Networking comes into play into anything you're doing. And the reason why I say this is because networking is also how you get the experience from other people. Learning from what other people do so you won't make the same mistakes often, or decide that, hey, maybe I should do a business thing because such and such, based on what such and such was telling me, he had accomplished. How important do you guys think networking is, Rich?
Well, first thing, I'd like to help your listenership understand how they could travel, and it'll be brief. All you have to do is take a dollar and multiply it by the week. And what's going to happen is by the end of the year, you'll have about $1,300, maybe $1,400. So to say that you don't have the money to travel, if you take week one, you multiply that, you put that away. Week two, you take a dollar times two, that's two. Week three, a dollar times three is three. And you just keep adding that up, you'd be surprised how much money you'll have at the end of the year. And then you could take a nice vacation, and then it's not going to be so difficult, because at the end of the year, you're only taking a dollar times $52. So it's not that difficult. Now, as far as networking is concerned, to me, networking is, there would be no reason for people to be on the planet if we weren't here to help each other. To me, that's really the basis of networking. You have something, you have a skill, a thought, a talent, a gift or something, I have something, let's see how we can work together. And wealthy people realize that they're not on this planet by themselves. They know they can't do it all by themselves. They're not going to work 100 hours a week. What they're going to do is they're going to work smarter. They're going to say, okay, you can do this, I can do that, let's put it together so we can make money together, because we have an opportunity together. Unfortunately, poor people have a me attitude. I'm going to try to do it myself. I don't need anybody's help. I don't need to talk to anybody else. And what happens is they remain in the same position year after year. In 5 years, the only thing that's going to be different between somebody who's poor and wealthy are the associations you make and the books you read. And that's what's going to change your world.
That was interesting.
All the tapes that you listen to, and you know, the stuff that
true,
you do.
True.
I just want to add
true,
that to
true.
It's real.
True, true.
Can I ask you a question?
Or the radio station you listen to Hip Hop Nation.
Yeah, but can I ask you a question? Your poet.
Yes, sir.
Now I heard networking, and I heard, you know, people this and that and the other that you might network with, and you can work together and what have you. Now, but then there comes that one point: the difference between poor people networking and people that have economic resources to invest and work and, you know, what have you. It's the paperwork. Poor people do it on a word of mouth. Other people do it contractually. See, you know, the one thing that we have to put together, you know, it used to be a good handshake and you could do business. Well, okay. But then the court system is set up to back you up on a contractual agreement when doing business, one falls short or doesn't complete or doesn't follow through with what they have agreed that they were going to do. See, there's that. And when you do business with a person, you know, you check to make sure that they're accredited in what they're representing. And they have the assets to which if you need to get your money back, you can then go after. See, you know, all of those things, when those that have money are doing business, they look through the books. They look through a whole lot of things before they sign that contract. But they definitely sign that contract so that if anything goes wrong, they have an assurity and a guarantee that it should not have gone wrong. And they can get some type of financial comeback on that. You know, so when we talk about methods and thinking like the wealthy, we must remember that, yes, we can network. Yes, we can meet people. But the paperwork, all of that, and the research of that individual. A good story is a good story. A contract with a con man doesn't mean anything. It's just a piece of paper with his signature, but he's gone with your money. I can think of the Ponzi schemes and what have you that went on with the wealthy. So there are those pitfalls. But we mentioned it earlier, you don't put all your money in one pocket. So that you're not going to be taken down totally behind someone that you find out here that you've networked and then you've got investments or expectations in doing business and your returns and what have you, or product or what have you, you know. So, you know, it's built upon actually, you know, the paperwork after you network. It's built upon the credibility and your research of that person. And, you know, the background check, you know, how many lawsuits have been filed against this person? You know, how many judgments does this person have on them? Because that also can tell you where he's at in his business world. See, that's part of the knowledge that you acquire when you go and get some type of higher form of education, that it tells you, you know, what is that, CYA, cover your own what? You know, you've got to do that background point after you have met people in the network, you know, and networking out here. So because you've ran into that yourself, Poetic.
And that's a fact. That's a fact. Over time, that in reality, you know, it's one of those things, if you don't cover, you're behind. In reality, I think it was Rich was saying it earlier, I believe. He was saying that I won't go there because I forgot. But if you don't cover your butt, somebody's out there going to take you. They're going to take you because they are waiting on standby to see what you don't know. I think it was Rich saying it in the boardroom that, you know, there's somebody, you know, Rich, what you were saying in the boardroom, what you see, what you observe, that if you didn't know, if somebody didn't know, that somebody was already there, they want to try to outshine you, pretty much?
Well, yes.
Is that what you were saying?
That's exactly right. What happened is when you're in the boardroom and you don't know the rules of engagement, you're in a battle that you've already lost.
Okay. Yeah, I thought that's what you was pretty much alluding to. Okay. Now, guys, we're getting ready to close out. Now, in your final thoughts, I'm going to start with Zero because I hadn't heard from him in a minute. What would your thoughts be as far as the wealthy versus the rich? The things that you observe in their thinking versus a poor man's thinking, what would you leave our audience with that they should be aware of? You know, have the floor. Zero, you there?
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. Okay.
All right.
I would say I said self-esteem. Once again, it comes down to self-esteem. When you're challenged, and there's challenges in becoming in rich and wealthy, it's a struggle, and it comes down to what you can endure and do you believe in yourself? I mean, which brings back the faith. I mean, what do you draw on when you hit that bump in the road? Because, you know, it's televised that people are successful. You see them up there, and they're doing what they're doing, and they never tell you the struggles that they go through to get there, or how many years, and what goes on behind the scene. They don't show you that part. They show you when they're up there and they're successful, and no one talks about the struggle. And you have to have that self-esteem because there are sharks out there. They're waiting to just swallow you whole. They'll present things in front of you, and like you said, they're waiting to catch you slipping, what you don't know. And if you're not sure about yourself or sure, but if you didn't study what you're doing or set a map or a compass of where you're going, you know, you're gone. They'll take you out there and swallow you. So it comes down to self-esteem. Most of the people that don't make it out of the hood, it's their esteem levels. It's pretty low. They don't love themselves enough to believe in themselves where they think they can do better.
They don't believe in themselves.
Yeah. Right.
In other words, you're saying they're not confident enough to believe that they can and they will.
That they can, right.
Stick to it and then follow through with it to make things change.
Right.
That's what it sounds like you're saying to me. Rich?
Right.
I have only 2 points. Number one, wisdom is the principal thing. If you want really to understand how to become thinking like a rich man, read the story about Solomon in the Bible. Not only was he the wisest, but he was also one of the wealthiest men ever. So if you want a good example, why don't you just read what's about him, his life, and you'll be amazed the secrets that will be revealed. And then the second thing is that education is a lifelong process. If you think getting out of high school or college, you're going to stop learning, that's going to be exactly the limit of the money that you'll ever make on the planet is where you stop learning. As soon as you start learning, you stop learning, you stop earning. And you have to really understand that principle. And that's all I have. Thank you.
80% of the wealthy believe that learning is a lifelong self-improvement process. 5% of the poor say, I don't think of it at all. 5% of the poor believe that. So, anyway, you know something? Creating good habits. These are good things to do and drop old bad habits. Those are things that you want to get rid of. If you got some bad habits that's holding you back, you find yourself going from paycheck to paycheck, from club to club, partying and partying, and it's getting you nowhere. Then you might be doing something wrong. It's time to change that habit and start to save some of that money and put it towards some things that will produce you some money. You know, invest in things that, you know, that can eventually pull you out the hole when it's necessary, when there's no other ground that you can stand on, something that can bring you money. And that, for me, I got to be honest with you, I've been at the bottom and I've made some money in life. And I can say like this, there's times that because of some of the investments I made in my own time, even when the dollars are no at zero, I'm able to produce money from the equipment and stuff that I put together so I can make it happen. Invest in a business, something that can produce you money, so you can start from the bottom and dig yourself out. That's the way, that's, to me, that's one of the things that I will offer, right off.
Yeah. Well, hey, you know, I want to say to Zero and to Rich, hey, you know, God bless you guys. You guys have come through with a wealth of knowledge, and I hopefully it helps the younger folks out here to understand there is hope. But I'm going to tell you like Chappelle. Remember what Chappelle used to say? He used to say, I'm rich. Oh, I can't say that last word because poetic platform. But
we get where you're leading off to.
And remember this. It's the mentality to project yourself to becoming wealthy. We're not saying you got pockets full of money, but it's the attitude that will allow you to open up your mind to be the king, to be a man among men. You see, you know, hey, just like your poetic has said, you know, I've had hundreds of thousands of dollars in front of me, played with it, passed it through my kids' hands just so they could take a picture and go, yeah, you know, hey, money is not what makes it makes you wealthy. Money is just something that allows you to get possibly what you need and what you want. Wealth is about your character. It's about your mind. You know, it's about your life. It's about living in America, surviving in America, and being able to walk out your door with a smile on your face and facing the world. You know, and other than that, you know, you're going to make money, you're going to lose money. But the one thing, when you die, you can't take it with you. So guess what? You know, to be wealthy is to have peace of mind, good character, and to be able to sit, and when you face the world, to face it in a righteous way. And, you know, other than that, hey, when it's over, it's over. Back to you, Poetic. What'd he do? Man down. Poetic's not here. Did I actually, he fell off of the line? Well, this is the Raw Dog Show on Hip Hop National Radio.
Oh, now you can't take over. That's
oh. Darn it, I never get my minute in the spotlight. I guess
wow,
I'm
y'all
not.
Saw that, y'all saw that. Y'all saw that. He tried to pull a quick one on me.
Getting ready to be the Raw Dog Show.
I want to thank Rich. I want to thank Zero. I want to thank Selena. I want to thank you, Raw Dog, for always being there.
Hey, don't leave Quinn out.
And Quinn. I want to definitely say Quinn and Dante, Myra Mo, all those people who really support and make this thing possible all the time. And Admo, can't leave him out. I want to say thank you all because this is what makes this program continue to grow. It takes networking with a body of people who say, you know what, I want to make the difference today. And this program lends its ear to that. We teach the business of music. We do this to help the youth get grounded in their direction in going into this marketplace, because we know it can be, and I'm going to use the word, it can be hell out there. But if you got a support team and you got people around you that can help you, guide you through life classes such as what we do here, it's not all about business. Sometimes it's about life. And tonight was one of those life topics that I thought that you guys have dropped some serious jewels on, and I will respect you for it. I thank you very much. So in your last thoughts, this is Hip Hop National Radio. What station is bringing you the best tips and advice in the music business? You're listening to Hip Hop National Radio. You tell me, guys, what station is bringing the best tips in business and tips and advice in the music business?
Hip Hop Nation.
Hip Hop National.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate you guys. And God bless you all.
Hey, I'm from Raw Dog. I want to say God bless you guys. Hey, thank you, thank you, thank you. And, you know, hey, please call in again, because, hey, they need what you have in your brains to help. You've done it. Hey, I know you're going to get a blessing coming your way, because it's hard to sacrifice to give. And you guys did an excellent job of that. God bless you. It's time for the music. We're rolling on. Take care, guys.
What's up, guys, and welcome to Hip Hop National Radio's In the Mix with Dr. A.T. I'm your host, Dr. A.T.
Quiet down, guys. I'm live on the air.
There's a party going on here at Hip Hop National Radio with our CEO, Poetic, right here in the studio.
Hip Hop National.
Poetic, can you get off that pole? The show's about to start.
This is Dr. A.T. To all you artists out there, if you guys want to get your song heard right here on Hip Hop National Radio, all you gotta do is send your MP3 file to www.hiphopnationalradio.com and get your chance to get your song heard. Also, follow us on Twitter at Hip Hop National Radio. Also, call into our hotline 213-559-2995.
Next on deck is LD History.
Kill your perception and share my history. Kill it. Tell them about it. Tell you a few things you may not know about me. Like I was born on the West Coast, exactly where the sun set. Rolls out the room full of life and I defeated their parents. Got a divorce, now we moving to the Jack. Bob Phoenix, Arizona, guess there's no coming back. Raised in Mississippi, is this what life's about? So low motion round here, I think it's best I leave out. But I stayed on my ground. I'm on the sunny South Dallas where the sun never shines. Didn't stay long, once again I'm on my way. Got Georgia on my mind, so I'm headed to the AZ with my big sister and she living in Decatur. Soon as I touch down, like baby girl, see you later. Have to keep it moving, don't trip, that's my nature. Now people throwing jabs, trying to say I'm unstable. No more running from my problems, this time I'm fine. First class to be exact, to the South Side shy. When I first arrived, they observed my whole style. Beat my moral. My southern house is cow, with me. Nice guy. Plus they can hear it in my speech. Heard a brother film records out of city claim me. That's West Coast, down south, Midwest, D's. I'm the one, my number's boy, got connects in all three. People often ask which region I like best. Tell at least you know why I fly southwest. With each place, that's the room the man that you see. Whether here on the track, low, so poetically. I could have said more, but I'll leave it as a D. When you give too much, then the people might flee. Just thought that I would share a little brief. Happy to get to know a little more about me. Yeah. Happy to get to know a little more about me. Yeah. Let me heal your perception and share my history. Tell you a few things you may not know about me. Like. Let me heal your perception and share my history. Tell you a few things you may not know about me. Like.
Dr. A.T., ER crew.
Let's go, go, go. Two steps for me, and I'ma flow for you. So that's what we gon' do. Let's go. Now they flow. It's two step doubles. We can take it slow, so incredible. I'm ready to go with two step double, but I'ma take it slow. Me on cruise control. You know it's on my mind. Yeah, that's my date. She got a mean dribble game. Still rock fake shoes and procrastinate. I love when she wraps around and make her fatty shake. She love when I two step while I'm sipping my drink. You know I gotta have a dark color cup of pink. Cuban link. Only got one shot, so I'm ready to sling. See on the dance floor and I'm doing my thing. I'm in my own damn world, homie, stay in your lane. So that dollar bill ain't the only thing that rings. Now you step for me, and I'ma flow for you, so that's what we gon' do, so let's do, got it close, we can take it slow, so incredible, you know I'm ready to go, got it close, two step double, I'm so out of control, like Damon Letterman, yeah, it's my show, got it close, got a bad dude. Baby girl, say hi. I wanna see you getting loose, coming out your clothes. I wanna see your booty high, so touch your toes. Got it close. Let it wiggle a little bit, then drop it low. I'm so super cool, got the flow so super smooth. Getting love all night. Got it close. Just do what it do, so I'ma do what I does. About to take the party over another side of the club. This one true love, some say I'm a stud. I'm no amateur, I'm all extra. Come on, come on, sexy, you know I gotta get ya. It's two-step double, now you. Two-step for me, and I'ma flow for you.
Next on deck, same OG, I wanna know.
Tell me what it is that you dream, girl.
Tell me what you dream.
Roscoe Fettuccine.
Same OG.
Yo, G, I got you, homie.
I see you, Roscoe.
Fetty Gang official.
Fetty Gang.
We work.
G Music Entertainment.
Yo. Let's go. Anything you
Next on deck, G Squad marching.
Here we be marching. We down south. So we'll be singing in the east. So we'll be gathering. We in the west. So we'll be shouting. We in the north.
We will be marching. We down south.
Another tour through the new music industry on Hip Hop National Radio.
Hip Hop National Radio.
Hip Hop. Hip Hop. Hip Hop.